Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. She is a very funny stand-up comedian and host of the Kristen Knows Blank podcast. You can see her at the Terry Theater on November 19th as part of her Caca tour. You have to say it like that. Tickets are on sale now. She is Kristen Key. Kristen, how are you?
That was the best I've ever heard a man do. That's incredible.
I pride myself on my bird calls. And so I've been playing a lot of Wingspan lately, the board game. And so I have to get better at those. You spell your name T-I-N, not T-E-N. Do you look down on those who spell it wrong?
No. It's only the C-H Kristens that we have trouble with. We don't know what to do with them. I-Ns and E-Ns, we get spelled each other's names so often we don't even notice it. My first album came out with an Ian and I didn't notice it. And so, we're okay, but it's the C.H. Kristens that we're like, you don't even go here.
That's just Tristans. Like, that's not even a real Kristen.
Yeah, you're not even. Oh, I'm sorry, C.H. Kristens, to be so not inclusive of you.
For those who haven't seen your stand-up, you do obviously your jokes, but you also perform comedic songs on your guitar. Did you always start out with a guitar when you started comedy, or did that kind of come slowly in your career?
No, that came later. I started as a, I would say in quotation, straight comic. Because back in the day when I started, like any comic that had a gimmick was very looked down upon. And so when I started, people were really like gatekeepy about stand-up and how pure it should be as an art form. And it wasn't until, and I played the guitar on the side, and I wrote funny songs on the side. And it wasn't until I worked with another musical comedian and I was like, you can do that? I was like, well, but what about all the people that are saying that you're not a real comic? And he just goes, if they could do it, they would do it too. Talking about his talent as a musician. And it just always changed the way I thought about it. And now I've noticed that people don't say, you know, things like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And the audience and me, we both all like, everybody appreciates it. So about 6 years into my career, I started incorporating the guitar. And then I really, really fell in love with that style of comedy and never looked back.
It's crazy how comedy has evolved over the years, because I remember just a lot of it were like you mentioned, it's very gatekeepy, just stick with jokes. They don't like storytelling. They don't like any type. Like, I know Carrot Top also kind of got that as well with his like props and stuff. But now it's like over the years, it's become a lot more accepted now to just kind of have your own gimmick.
Yeah, or to have like whatever makes you stand out as unique from other comedians. And I think in the pandemic, actually, people were finding more unique ways of getting laughs and performing the art form that would have before been like very much looked down upon. But suddenly when you're, you know, medium for performing changes, well, so does the art form. Like Morgan Jay and I were on Bring the Funny together. And I remember watching him through the pandemic, like really hone his skills with auto-tune and crowd work. And when we went back on the road, his act completely changed and he blew up just because he started thinking outside the box.
Speaking of acts changed, do you remember your first ever stand-up set?
Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible. Oh my God, it was terrible. I'd like to forget it.
Now we're going to go, let me put on my journalist hat. We're going to dig deeper. How drastic has it changed from where you are now?
From day one? I mean, I'm not a mathematician, so I don't know, like 180 complete degrees. Because I started in a small town comedy club in Texas with a club owner saying, never say you're gay. And so I was trying to pretend to be a straight lady on stage with this haircut. It was filthy, and I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. I still got laughs, but I'm not proud of them. It was filthy.
I feel like,
how many ways can I say filthy? It was filthy.
I feel like a lot of people, when they first start out, they go filthy as well. Cause I remember my first stand-up set was like extremely filthy as well, that it would even make like Anthony Jeselnik blush. Like, it was gross.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what like open micers. And now when I go to an open mic night, it's what I'm not surprised by it, because I'm like, oh, right. That's where I started too. We all start with what's the funniest thing we can think of. And when we're on stage, I just kind of want to shock you into a laugh, because mm-hmm. I haven't figured out how to write a joke cleverly yet. And so I went for a lot of shock until I could, you know, figure out how to craft better jokes. I mean, there's a lot of psychology to comedy, like how people see you and what they expect. And so now it's when I've had audience members be like, why don't you talk more about politics? I'm like, oh, I don't need to now. My haircut is about as political as I need to be. you can look at me and sum up how I vote. So I'm not going to talk about it because I don't think it's relevant to my set right now. But anyway, back in the day, you don't know how people see you or you don't understand. And so you just tell them who you think you should tell them you are. You know, it's fascinating. Comedy's fascinating.
It is. You also do, like, as I mentioned, the comedic songs on your guitar. How long do you workshop those until you actually, like, start incorporating that into your set?
It depends on the song. Some songs, like, really do, like, come out fully formed. Those are my favorites. And some songs, like, I'm playing a song right now for the tour, and it took me, this is version 8. I've rewritten it 8 times. And every time I finish it, I take it up, I'm like, this is the one. And then I play it, and I'm like, oh, it's not quite there yet. And I'll completely rewrite it. Usually, but this one has, like, it's I think the messaging, like, there's tons of jokes, and it's very, very funny. But it's really important for me to get the messaging on this one. Mm-hmm. Right. But some of them, the silly songs, they literally just pop out while I'm playing with somebody or, like, you know, in the green room, and then they'll be in the act for years.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like an improv song. So it just depends on the song.
Speaking of taking acts on the road, one of the questions I always love asking comedians, what is the weirdest place you've ever performed stand up?
Oh, my goodness. Probably is it a place called Gun Barrel City, Texas? At a bar called the Bait Bucket, and I spent my 21st birthday there. It was the very first time I ever headlined, and my headshot was up in the men's restroom. Everything about it was horrible. That was weird. The guy who booked me offered me cocaine. I did not take it. Yeah, I was 21 at the time. Yeah,
as a form of payment, like, hey, we can't pay you cash, but I can pay you in cocaine.
No, as a birthday present.
Oh, okay.
As one would. Yeah.
I was about to say, that's a really sketchy place if they're just offering you cocaine as a form of payment.
No, I think it was more of a birthday present and, like, a congrats on headlining. And then it got really weird and I had to be escorted to my car that night. Yeah, that was probably the weirdest place I ever played.
That's crazy.
Or, like, so I went to somebody's birthday party, but I was dressed, like, they wanted me dressed in all black and crying. That felt more like a kink, though.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I think this was, like, these are all back before I, like, started, like, touring professionally. Mm-hmm. So this was, like, a local gig, but someone hired me for, like, their husband's 40th or 50th birthday, but they just wanted me to come in and cry about how old he was and leave.
That sounds special.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah,
I took the money.
That
I think I got like $70 for that. Yeah.
Is it true that you were actually training to be a paramedic, but you saw two people die and you said, nope, can't do this anymore?
That is a true story. That is exactly how that happened. I was training to be a paramedic. I don't think I would have been a very, very good paramedic because I would say it's like because I'm rarely on time and I think it's funny when people get hurt and I'm a little squeamish around blood. So those three things combined would make for a very, very strange ambulance visit.
Were you thinking like, I'm going to go like this nice streak of I'm not going to have anybody die on me, so I won't have to see any dead body and I'm all good?
Are you like a construction site? Like, we're dead body free for 0 days again, Kristen. Yeah, I watched I didn't kill him. Like, two people died. Not my fault. Two people did die. And it was like, I was 20 years old and I happened up on a car accident. And that wasn't even one of my working shifts. You just, as an EMT, it's been drilled into you. You're ethically obligated to stop at an accident if there's no first responders there. And I stopped and immediately was like, I can't do this. There's so much blood. And it was awful. And he was dying. And so I was like, but I stuck in for like 2 more weeks. And then the next person that came in actively dying, I was like, what was I thinking? Like, I can't do this.
Was that the point where you just go, all right, I got to go into comedy at this point, like, because I can't do this paramedic stuff?
I mean, you'd think it would be as cut and dry as that. I was just happy to be doing stand-up on the side, I had done a few open mic nights. But yeah, that was like, I literally dropped out of college, quit my job, and started working for the comedy club all in the same week as the second guy died. So he died, and like, I got my new life or whatever. And so yeah, I just dropped everything. I was like, I'll work at a comedy club.
You can see her at the Terry Theater on November 19th as part of her Kaka tour. Tickets are on sale now. You made this joke. I think it was actually the first clip I ever saw of you. And since then, it's I can't help but notice it. So I got to ask, and I got to make sure I word this properly. How did Subarus become the vehicle of lesbians?
I don't even know how to respond. Wait, lesbian? It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. It just is what it is. It's one of those things. It's like, why do we play softball? It just is what it is. We are practical people who value safety and style, and it is a practical, safe, stylish car that we all are very, very proud to drive. I don't think it's like no one had a lesbian meeting and like was like, this is the car that we are going to drive, you know, because I think we would have probably on paper driven something like a truck. But no, it just, we're all gravitated there because we are practical people. And so practically and on paper, it is the best, safest car that can haul the most, like golf clubs, softball equipment, gardening gear, everything that we like to do, that car can handle. And so this is my advertisement for Subarus, mm-hmm. literally. If you're not a lesbian, but you just love practicality, buy a car like a lesbian.
To be fair, I will say my wife and I almost did get a Subaru as well because we had to upgrade one of our vehicles because we were having a kid. Now we've had the kid now. But it's one of those like, oh, do we get the Subaru? Do we get something else? And we were able to get the price down on something else. But we were this close to getting a Subaru.
Yeah, because you know what? It'll save that child's life in an automobile accident because they are crash tested. They crash test so well and they retain their value. What is it about Subarus? We do get a little horny for Subaru.
Future Subaru spokesperson, Kristen Key joins us. You can see her at the Terry Theater November 19th. Tickets are on sale now. You were on season 4 of Last Comic Standing, which I imagine that has to be a very tough show to be on just because of how constantly I feel like you have to just be writing jokes in such a short amount of time.
You would think. I was 26 and just went in straight from Amarillo, Texas to the show. So I didn't really think about joke writing the whole time I was on there. I was like, what am I doing here? Oh my God, this is so crazy. So I just kind of, I dumb lucked my way through that show completely. But yeah, I think like if I would have done it later in my career, I probably would have written more jokes. I was just so happy to be there. It was such a fun experience.
I'm trying to remember. I think you were on the season with Gabriel Iglesias. Is that right?
Yeah, Gabriel Iglesias was on. Josh Blue won that season. So mm-hmm. We had a lot of heavy hitters on that show.
Do you think, because I think, I remember like hearing like a rumor that they caught Gabriel Iglesias with a phone a few times, but they kept him up until like the roast portion just so that they could get like fat jokes. Do you think that's true?
That is inaccurate.
Okay. Inaccurate
because I was there for the whole show. They actually, and I remember producers coming in to tell him about his BlackBerry and because it was back at the time when he had a BlackBerry mm-hmm. and we were supposed to give up our phones. His story, which I do believe, his girlfriend or partner at the time was having gallbladder surgery. And so he wanted to be able to touch base with her frequently throughout the day without having to use the public on-camera phone. And the rules about reality TV and cell phones changed almost within seasons of that show. It just at the time they locked us down. And so it was just a technicality and he kept his phone out just to check on his girlfriend. I think it was just because it was kind of obvious one day. Like he was like playing with it under a pillow, not playing with it. It was just visibly texting. He was on camera. And so I think they came in and got him for that. I don't think they asked him at a specific reason. Yeah. Or for a time. Yeah, not according to anything we saw while we were filming. It seemed like it was just like, oh, shoot, he got busted. Which sucks because they should have kept him around for the finale because him and Josh Blue would have been the best finale.
Oh, it would have been.
Of any Last Comic Standing. Yeah, because I still to this day don't know who would have won. They're both so good.
Do you look at any other prior season and go, oh, I would have won that season?
Now or back then?
Now.
Oh, that's hard to say. That's so hard to say. Man, no, I'll just say no. I'll say no. It all played out the way it was supposed to play out. Yeah. Competitions are so subjective anyway, but it's like, because you think like, could I have done gay material back then? Probably not.
That is true.
As a comic, I was doing all mainstream material back then. And, we knew you couldn't be a gay comic and be on television back then.
Yeah.
And expect to get cast on a show like that. So it's hard to think about, you know? So you're like, mm-hmm. have my comedy skills improved or just has my honesty and joke writing improved or has the world changed enough to where now I can have an audience that I like to talk to or like to be honest in front of?
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that people kind of forget is that during that time, during like the mid 2000s, unfortunately, people weren't too kind to gay people because they were still using the term gay as a negative connotation. And so you're probably right. You were probably sticking to more mainstream stuff at that point.
Well, yeah. And that's like now with the tour, like when I get to play places like Jacksonville, I know that the audience that's coming to that show is a very inclusive audience, and the audience can feel safe at my show. We're going to have a lot of gay people, but also a lot of like allies and neurodiverse people and people that they just know that at this comedy club, you will not be, or that night, at this specific night at this show, you will not be picked on for being you. That's just, it's a given. It's, you're safe. And that's like, that wasn't the case when I grew up in comedy. There was no one is safe at a comedy show for being different.
Speaking of you being you, I feel like this is the only way I can segue into this question. I'm asking this for the sake of, you know, curiosity and all that, because I know that this might get construed in a different way. So please know I'm asking this in a very positive environment. You are the daughter of a pastor and you came out as gay, which I know in the Christian world, there's clashing there, so to say. For anybody who is in the closet or conflicted, do you have any advice on them coming out at all?
I like the way you phrased it, but yeah, like I came out and I have a Christian minister. I'll just, to answer the whole question, not great. Didn't go great. And I know that like on the coast, and that there were times when you'd say like, oh, you know, people that have ever struggled with your sexual identity, people are like, well, nobody cares anymore. Oh, people still very much care. It's a very hot topic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for anybody in the closet or struggling, or they have families that might disagree, I would say really lean into your community. Because there's a great, great community of people that will support you and love you and like give you support if your family is, you know, working through things on their own, because people have their own beliefs to navigate. And I would say instead of trying to change your family's beliefs, maybe lean into your community and get what you need, you know, as far as like love and support from your community while you let your family have their emotions and struggles or whatever. But you don't have to be dependent on their support and validation to be a strong, successful gay person. Like, it's okay that there's a great, great big community out here with lots of like gay aunties and gay moms and dads that would love to support and love you. Yeah.
You could see her at the Terry Theater on November 19th as part of her Caca tour. Tickets are on sale now. Kristen, before I let you go, I want to ask you the same 10 questions I like to ask all my guests here. They're inspired by the late, great James Lipton. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. This is the first time I think anyone's actually been that excited for these questions.
I've seen that show. It's inside the Extra Studio. Oh my God, I didn't prepare. Let's go. Let's see what happens.
All right. What's the most played song on your playlist?
Oh my God. Closer to Fine, Indigo Girls.
Guilty pleasure band.
The Beatles.
Favorite song you like to belt it out to, no matter how good or how bad you sound?
Total Eclipse of the Heart, Bonnie Tyler.
I like how you just have all these at the ready too. So much for, oh, I haven't prepared.
These are popping into my head, but that is what I will sing at the top of my lungs, and I'm not great at it.
If you could eat one meal for a week, what is it?
Raising Cane's chicken. The sauce is boss and the chicken is kicking.
Look at you with like first Subaru, now Raising Cane's. You're just like,
dude, if Raising Cane's would sponsor me, I swear to God, I would wear a t-shirt every night that said Raising Cane's on it. Their chicken's so good. Sauce is boss.
I've actually never had Raising Cane's.
You will now.
Drink of choice.
It's a brand called Ito In Green Tea. You get it at Costco.
Favorite superhero?
Oh, Captain America. He's the best of all of us.
Favorite internet video?
There's this video where a lady's trying to get out the front door and she's on the phone and her dog's on a leash and the dog gets out the front door and drags her and somehow her pants get caught on her front entryway bench and she ends up half in, half the door with her pants around her ankles.
No.
And she makes a noise when she gets yanked. Yes, that's my favorite internet video. Okay. She kind of goes when she gets pulled and then she has no pants on.
You have to send me that. I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, I got it. I'm sure it's in one of my saved collections. All right, I'll send you that.
All right. What are you streaming right now?
What am I streaming? Oh, I feel like I'm between shows right now. Hang on. What am I streaming right now? Oh, the Tournament of Champions. It's to fall asleep to. I'm not proud of this. I'm not proud of this at all. It's Food Network Tournament of Champions, because I'm really a Bobby Flay girl, but yeah.
For a second, when you said Tournament of Champions, I was like, wait, which tournament is this? Is this American Gladiators, the reboot? And I was like, oh, okay. This is-
I mean, I would be way more proud if it were oiled up people fighting. No, it's professional chefs in a bracket style competition and on the Food Network hosted by Guy Fieri. And I'm not proud. I mean, it was really well directed. I will say that. My buddy Steve directed that show, and it's really well directed, but it is a guilty pleasure, and I fall asleep to it every night.
Are you one of those like cooking show people? Like you watch like Great British Baking Show, Crime Scene Kitchen, and all those?
Great British Baking Show, yes. Beat Bobby Flay, yes. Most everything else, no. It just happened. It happened. I don't know how. I was on a cruise ship once, and all we had was a Food Network, and Bobby Flay does it for me. I think I might have a crush.
You may need to watch. Yeah. You need to watch Crime Scene Kitchen. Crime Scene Kitchen's great.
Yeah. Okay, I'll put it on my list.
Yeah. And finally, Kristen Key, give me your spiciest hot take. It could be about anything in life.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What is my hottest take? Oh, God. Oh, they're so mean. Mitch shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Wow. Something tells me that might have a little bit of blowback.
Yeah, I was like, dang it. I shouldn't have said that out loud, but I'll stand by it. Men shouldn't vote. There we go. Women only. Women should rule the world. There's a hot take. Women should rule the world, not take away something from men.
There you go.
No. Here's my hot take. Men can absolutely vote with permission from their wives.
Okay. I liked how that just evolved into, no, they shouldn't vote. You know what? Maybe. And then it's like, no, with permission. I like how we just saw the evolution of that take within 30 seconds.
Like, I don't want to be mean, but I'll double down. Okay. That was fun.
You can see her at the Terry Theater November 19th. Tickets are on sale now. You can also see her special, Kristen Key, Lesbian Army, available now on Amazon Prime. Kristen, thanks a lot for coming on.
Oh, my God. Thank you. This was really fun. Thanks for doing this, Chase.